This is the much vaunted lunch spot here, so welcome to all of you. So yes, I have no relationships to disclose here. So let's give you a few facts about this coalition. And this is really a presentation in tandem with Colleen, who will follow me. So I'm representing more of the advocacy side of the story, and she'll talk a little bit more about implementation. So it's kind of a part one, part two. So our coalition got started about 7 years ago, and we have now 52 organizations in our coalition, and that's grown quite a bit. We started sort of as a precursor group back in 2004, and we had four nonprofits and the State Health Department, so we have done a lot of growth. We do revise our policy agenda annually, and we are a policy advocacy coalition. There's a lot of coalitions out there that do program work, and that's not us. We are all about building a policy agenda and trying to enact as much of that agenda as we can year by year. So this is not only a member list, it's also an eye test. How are you guys doing out there? All right. But you can go to our website, which is the last slide here, and look at all of our lovely members. But it's an impressive list here, and we feel good about the list, and it's a mix of public and private partners here. So the story we're going to give you at the front end of this is about this executive order, 1306, that our Governor Inslee signed just a little bit over a year ago, but I want to give you the backstory. So before this lovely piece of language came through in the executive order, we did a lot of work around the idea of, and I'll use the word procurement, although I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how that's not exactly maybe the best sort of phrase to use here. So, yes, we know we have problems with unhealthy eating, and we know we have high risk factors for diabetes and heart disease, etc. But the thing I would add here is we were focused on governmental structures. When the government touches food, whether they buy it, purchase it, provide it, what kind of standards do we have around that? And some of the history that I bring to this issue is working on this very same issue around alcohol use on public property. So a gazillion years ago when I worked in San Francisco Bay Area Health Department, we started to do a lot of work around alcohol risk reduction in communities, and the communities started to ask us some hard questions because I was with the county health department, and they said, what are the alcohol use policies for your own facilities? Because when I go to the local parks, it seems like people are just drinking, and doesn't seem to be any restrictions. So thank you for telling us we need to be more responsible with our alcohol use, but do you have alcohol use policies? I said, good question. Let me go investigate. And it turns out that Santa Clara County had no alcohol use policies. And we weren't really walking our own talk. And so that really got me to thinking about using government as a model for this kind of work. And so when we came to this issue about when the government touches food, turns out our state government did not have any policies related to nutrition when they provided food. The other part of the story here is the connection to worksite wellness. And there's been a lot of work in our state, and I know nationally, around wellness, and it's really been a much more dimensional effort of late. For those of you who are around for sort of wellness 1.0, it was a lot of health education, which was great. You know, let's have yoga classes at lunch that only the people that do yoga will attend. So we've really grown a lot since that time, and wellness today is a lot about messaging and framing, which is around employee productivity. And so how do you sell wellness to employers? What's the bottom line? Yes, healthy employees is nice, but to what end? And so today, wellness is, I think, in a lot of places, framed as something a little more dimensional, and not just about health education, but it is about employee productivity. And so we were trying to connect these kind of two trains of nutrition standards and worksite wellness. So the story here, and it's not a super long story to tell you, but it did take some years, and I think it's also, I wouldn't call it a cautionary tale, but if you want to do policy and systems change work, it's not something that necessarily happens in a year. So you could see we started our work in 2010, And 3 years later, we got an executive order, an actual policy enactment. I'm going to go through each of these one by one. So that's a three-year time period. Some people might get frustrated in thinking, I don't have the time to spend 3 years on policy change. But in some cases, that's the kind of time it takes to do the work. So we started with this idea of procurement. I'll come back to that term. And so we thought, when the government touches food, the first time they touch food as a government entity is when they buy it. So why can't we put standards on the food when they purchase the food? And after we had an entire grad school class do a lot of homework around this, we found a whole lot of things around our state system around food purchase. Number one, it's not uniform, so there was not like one contract that agencies use, so that was a little bit confounding. We also found that it felt challenging to think about putting standards on food purchasing rather than on food service. And so the term you hear for this work around the country is procurement. I'd love to hear what our friends in the other parts of the country say about this, but it's not, it's sort of a misnomer because it's not about standards at point of purchase, it's about standards at point of service. So in any case, we had a pretty deep dive with an entire class around this issue, and at that point in 2010, nobody was really doing a lot of work around this. People were just starting to talk about food and beverage standards in public entities. And so we didn't have a lot of examples. Massachusetts was the first out with a state executive order in 2010, but they were very slow to implement, so we had no history. And that makes it a little challenging to do what we started to do next, which is to write a bill and try to get a bill passed. And so we wrote the first bill in 2011. We found a very strong champion to do that work. We had initial hearing. And we got it out of the policy committee just barely. It ended up feeling like it was a partisan bill, like the Democrats voted for it, the Republicans voted against it. And we tried to do a message around government efficiency. And I tried to kind of give that example I gave you before about alcohol use policy. And I tried to use the example of if we all purchased more food collectively as state agencies, we can buy food at a cheaper rate. And so that government efficiency angle didn't quite root, you know, well-intended, but as a message frame, it didn't quite root. And we'll talk about message framing a little bit more. So we got out of the committee, but it had a high fiscal note. There was an embedded assumption in that fiscal note that said healthy food costs 25% more. And if that's your assumption, this bill will cost millions of dollars over X amount of years. So that was kind of a deal killer. So we kind of played with this dynamic for a while as a bill. And we got further along in 2013, where we did a little bit of shifting around our messaging. We also had the engagement of our state health department, who got one of these community transformation grants from CDC and really thought about procurement as a priority. And so Colleen and I started to work together, and Colleen will give you that side of the story. She started to develop a work group while we were still working on the bill. So these trains did end up connecting here. But at this point in this year, we did get policy agreement with the state agencies who all sat around the table with the lead sponsor and agreed to this idea. We still had issues with the fiscal note. It still had a high fiscal note. So we weren't quite there yet with the bill approach. So from that, we really finally got into the executive order. And really, that's the part of the story where Colleen will pick up. But some of the messages or some of the lessons learned here I want to leave you with here. Let's start with message framing, because I think this is super important for public health, because we're not always really good at this. I think we're learning a lot as we go when we do policy and systems change work, that we can't just say healthy people is our goal and how come nobody else loves that, right? So how do we think about messaging? And so this is really an evolution how we looked at this, at least in our state. We started with that government efficiency messaging, and as I told you, didn't quite root. The bill still seemed kind of partisan, and I still think that's not a bad frame to use. Maybe we didn't do a good job of executing it, but that's how kind of the 1.0 version of this went. Then we used that government as model, And that actually seemed to gather a little more momentum than government efficiency. So that's back to government has to walk its own talk. It's hypocritical that government tells everybody who are citizens, you should eat more and, you know, and work out more. But when you come onto our property and our facilities, ooh, sorry, you don't have healthy choices. That's hypocritical for government to do. So that's a message we gave, and that seemed to, you know, perk up a few ears there. Ultimately, what played in our state, though, was this last point around worksite wellness with this emphasis on productivity. And so the executive order has a lot of pieces to it, but a core piece of it is basically our bill that just got dropped into it. But the whole frame of the executive order is around wellness. And as I said before, wellness is a strong message because it does have that current sort of framing around employee productivity, and that plays even in a public setting. So this is kind of the evolution of how our framing went. It's interesting to note that some of the media around the executive order signing has picked up on some of the messaging here. You can see here, Governor Inslee makes Washington first state to ensure healthy food access, sort of a benign message. And then the second one is Inslee directs agencies to streamline approach, which kind of gets back to that efficiency message, which didn't quite work, but somehow the media picked up on. So it's always interesting to me to see how the media picks up on these things. A few policy development tips to share with you. In our situation, we were the external advocacy group, and so we were the kind of the jump start folks with our academic partners, and they were huge to have at the beginning. They literally took an entire class and made this the issue for the class throughout their whole semester. And so we had just a super deep dive in research and really got to mine everything that was happening around procurement in 2010. So that was a terrific partnership. Having a prioritization of this work with the State Health Department, where we started to partner, to me is really a lovely synergistic effect, because to me, when you can have an external advocacy group partner with an internal public entity, I think you've got great synergy there. So they were able to advocate from the inside, make it a priority, and we're advocating from the outside. And I think the work group that Colleen will tell you about, you know, sort of reflects that public-private partnership here. The last piece to note really is about the work with the Department of Services for the Blind, and this is a long story that I'll try to synthesize very quickly, but this is a critical stakeholder in this work if you're trying to work with public entities, whether it's at local or state levels. So back in the 1930s, during the Depression era, there was this emphasis on having folks who were sight impaired to have essentially monopoly contracts over concessions in federal buildings and facilities. States, and I forget the number, but it was something like 35, 38 states had the same kind of legislation that followed up later on in the 30s. And so for many of you, maybe, if you go into a state building, you're going to see that concession stand, that cafe may be operated by, or managed at least, by folks who are sight impaired. So that is the case in our state, and they have had really a lockdown on any changes to their business plan, and it's been challenging, although we did break through with them over time to get them to understand that healthy eating doesn't mean less profits, because that was their, you know, their way of thinking, that if you restrict in any way, our business plan around food, we are going to see less profits. And some of their profits go back into programs that are supporting sight impaired people. And so they were very critical of our work in the legislative arena. They came out and testified in droves, and we had to work them over a number of years. So my advice to you is to really try to become that change agent with your DSB. If they are a player in your state, talk to them early on, try to figure out where those soft spots are, to get them to break that chain of that healthy food means less profits, because that is an erroneous assumption, but that is kind of the assumption base they work off of. So you need to sort of crack that open, because they could be a deal killer on your policy or system change idea. So more to say about that, but that was sort of the high notes there. At the end of the day here, what I love about the work that's going to happen in Washington State, the symbolic piece that plays for me the most is when you're going to get off an interstate rest area and you go to that vending machine, which in our state is behind bars in some places. I don't know where what they look like in your state. Can you get a healthy choice? Can you get a sugar-free beverage? Can you find healthy food snacks in those vending machines? In our state, you're going to be able to do that. And to me, that's a super symbolic way to say to our citizens that we honor healthy food and nutrition in our state. So I'm going to leave it there and pass it over to my compadre, Colleen. Thank you.